Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices of Hope Radio with Minister Kim and Lady Quarterback LaTanya, where your voice can be heard.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Voices of Hope. What's going on, family? What's going on? So you hear all this excitement going on in my voice, so you already know it's not Minister Kim E. Underwood. Nope, and it's not even quarterback on the field today. Yes, it is I, Radio Angel. Woohoo! You know I like to come to the mic from time to time. It's been a while since you guys have heard from me. Well, today's your day. Sit back, relax. You're going to hang out with the angel today. So listen, today is going to be an awesome, awesome show. Listen, we got Boston in the house. We got Boston in the house. We have Pastor Melanie Turner Kirkland. Whew, that was a lot to say, right? That was a lot to say. But thank God, the folks who love her much call her Pastor Mel. So that's what we're going to call her today. Okay. Okay. All right, everybody, get your pens, your papers. Pens, papers. Guess what, guys? I'm actually drinking tea these days. Yeah, I know. That's crazy. You know how much I can't stand tea, but I actually love tea, and I mean hot tea. So, Minister Kim, girl, you already know. I need your cup of tea wherever you are. Listen, everybody, go get your pens, your papers. Go grab your young people. Go grab your neighbors. Come back here. We'll be right back. Welcome back, welcome back, family. OMG, I'm super excited. Super excited today. So, like I said earlier, before the break, we have Pastor Melanie Turner Kirkland. She's in the studio. What's going on, lady? How are you, Pastor Mel?
I am great, and I see that you're great because you sound completely fabulous. You're giving me life with all that energy.
Ooh, well, thank you, darling. Well, when we sit at this table, we all get so much energy. I just want to thank you on behalf of Minister Kim E. Underwood and Lady Quarterback LaTanya Rush for coming on to the show. I'm so sorry they're not here to greet you, but I'm here, the angel. They left me in the house to come and hang out with you. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So how are you doing this morning?
I am doing fabulous, and I'm excited to be here with you this morning and just to talk and talk about my book and all the exciting things going on and just have some girl chat.
Ooh, I'm so glad you just jumped right in it. Hey, family. Yes, yes, yes. Pastor Mel has not one, but two books, and we're going to dive right into it. Let's dive right into it. Okay, which one do you want to talk about first? Oh, hold on, Pastor Mel. I think I want to talk about the balance book first. That's what I think I want to talk about. So, tell us what the name of the book is.
So if So the name of the book is Balanced Believer, How to Live a Balanced Life and Win in Every Area. I don't know if you have many men who listen to the show. The book will also help men. But as I was writing the book, I was writing it, and I was thinking about my girlfriends, and I was thinking about us as women and how we have so many different things we have to balance in life. Many of us are, we're wives, and we're mothers, and we're CEOs, and we're leaders, and we're volunteers, and we're carpool drivers, and we got to get the kids here, and we got to get them there. We have so many different things that we have to do, so many things that we have to manage, so many balls in the air. How do we balance it all without losing ourselves and going crazy?
Okay. I want to know that question because I am a caretaker. I don't have the mom thing down, but I guess being a caretaker is just like being a mom. So I'm like a caretaker. I work a full-time job. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a leader for one of my women's organization, PIP Women Rock. I'm here on Voices of Hope with the family, helping to move this ministry to higher levels. So, yeah, I need to know some of these tips.
So
it's
one of the things that I find is a lot of times we don't like to say no. And I think that one of the first things, so there's a chapter in the book and it's chapter eight, Stepping Out of the Superwoman Syndrome. I think that we all suffer from the superwoman syndrome. We think we're superwoman. We think we can do it all. And so we overextend ourselves, and we put all of this stuff on our plate. And some stuff we put on our plate, we don't even need to put on our plate. Sometimes we just need to learn to say no. So I like it because I liken it to us thinking that we're superwoman, and we set these standards for ourselves, and we're trying to live up to this expectation of being superwoman. But one of the things I think that we don't realize is that superwoman doesn't exist. She is a fictional character. And so we're putting these high expectations and these standards on us that we have to live up to that don't even exist. They're not real. And so one of the things I think we need to do is I think we need to empower ourselves with that one little word, no. And we need to be okay with no. We need to understand we can't be everywhere at all times. We can't be everything to everybody. And we cannot do everything. We can't say yes to everything. One of the things that I'm learning is not every open door we should walk through. Even like you said, you're an entrepreneur, you're trying to get these ministries off the ground, and sometimes we're so excited about our businesses and we're so excited about what we're doing, and once we get a phone call, we want to take it, and we want to go on every opportunity, but not every opportunity is for us. So we need to learn to say no. When your girlfriend calls or when someone asks you to do something, if you can't do it, we need to really look at what we have on our plate. We need to really look at what we have going on, and we need to learn to say no. I don't know if it is a lot of people like me, but one of the things with me, because I'm in ministry, because I am a pastor, I do have a heart for people, and I want to be able to help everyone. So when people call me, I want to be able to help, and I want to be there. And so at one point in my life, I was saying yes to everyone, and I was trying to be there for everyone because my heart was bleeding and my heart was going out to everyone, and I wanted to help. But one of the things that I had to learn is that not everybody in the emergency room has an emergency. So everybody that calls you, it's not an emergency. And sometimes we think that every phone call and every time we get that call, we have to drop everything and run. And not everyone in the emergency room is an emergency. So we really need to weigh what is emergent, what needs our immediate attention, and what can we say no to.
You know, in my brain, I was sitting here saying to myself, okay, what do I need to take off my plate? What do I need to do this? What do I need to do that?
Yes.
And it's interesting because somebody had said something to me just this week about something, and I said, you know what? That's not priority. That's just not, even though I can try and do it, but it's not priority. This thing over here is priority. It's more important for me to focus on this than to focus on that.
Yes.
And if I don't do that, it's okay that I didn't do it, and it's still going to be there if I need to go back and get it. Or I could just delegate it to somebody else.
Oh, I like that you said delegate. That's one of the other things I talk about. We have to learn to delegate because, again, see, I always, you know, I'll use me as an example. I won't throw anyone else under the bus. I stay under the bus. I keep myself under those tires. But if you're anything like me, you don't really like to delegate because sometimes you feel like, you know, they just can't do it the way you would. If you don't do it, it won't get done right. And so we're trying to do it.
Hey!
God is, I have a team of people that have been sent to me to help me in ministry, and why am I doing everything? Or what I do is I delegate, but then I'm hovering and I'm micromanaging and I'm frustrating them, and I really haven't delegated because I really haven't released it. So if we're going to delegate and we're going to release it, we need to release it. Like, you need to know that the people you've released it to, that you've released it in good hands and that they're competent and that you can trust them. And you need, the purpose of the delegation was so you could do something else. Get off their back, stop hovering, stop micromanaging, and let them do what you've given them to do so you can give your attention to where you need to give it elsewhere.
And on that note, we're going to take a break.
Starting a nonprofit is an exciting experience. It gives you an opportunity to turn your passion for giving and serving others into a reality. However, starting a nonprofit also comes with a lot of challenges. Many organizations fail before they launch by not knowing how to set up their organization correctly. Don't get frustrated trying to navigate through the IRS tax-exempt paperwork to start a nonprofit, register your charitable organization, or even if your status has been revoked. Let our professional staff do the work for you. We are helping nonprofits run like for-profits. Schedule your discovery call today by visiting our website at thenonprofitcoach.org or by calling 240-547-8780.
All right, welcome back, family. Welcome back. We are sitting here in the studio with Pastor Mel, and we're talking about balance. Well, actually, we're talking about saying no, and we're talking about just delegating, just giving it off, giving it to someone else, and trusting that they're going to do the job. You know, you can't go, once you give it to them, you can't go back and take it back. Is that correct? Like, you got to trust your people to do what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
That's like people going to the altar, they put stuff down on the altar, then they go back on the altar and say, you know what, God, I think I'm going to pick this back up and take it with me.
That's exactly what we do. And I love it because we do it to God. The Bible says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. So what we do is we give God our burdens and we give God our problems, and then we want to hover over God, and we want to micromanage God and tell him how to do it. And I believe he's laughing like, I'm God, I created the universe, I know all things, I have all power, but yet you want to tell me how to handle this thing you couldn't handle. But we do it to God all the time.
And I stay shut on that.
I mean, again, I told you, here I go, I'm back under the bus. I've been guilty of it. Giving God something in prayer, walking away, coming back, checking on him, trying to tell him how to bless me, how to do it.
I think we've all been, we've sat on that bus on a number of occasions. It's not until the bus does a jerk and we go, oh, wait a second, we get it back in place. So I think it's very key that everybody hears what Pastor Mel is saying in regards to the no, in regards to the delegate. And, you know, I have been a victim of that whole, I think I can do it all. Because I have been an entrepreneur since 1995. So that's when I opened up my first original business, which was a greeting card business. And I didn't think nobody could do it. Like, I had someone cutting patterns, and I was just like, I threw all their patterns out because I'm like, you didn't do it right. And, you know, but you got to trust that the people that you brought upon, brought into the team, brought into the fold, has your interests, your best interests at hand. Definitely, definitely, definitely. So that was the superwoman syndrome. So what else you got going on in this balance book?
So another thing that I like to talk about for us to keep balance is there's a chapter on here about, it's chapter 9, setting and enforcing boundaries. I think it is so that we, so I said setting because many of us, we say we set boundaries, but we don't enforce them.
Right.
So if we got all these different things going on and we're entrepreneurs and we're running all of these businesses and still working full-time jobs and we're a caretaker and we're a wife and a mother, it's very important that we have boundaries and we enforce them. Because if we don't enforce them, people are not going to enforce your rules and your boundaries. They'll run all over you, and they'll take advantage of you, some purposely, some knowingly, some unknowingly. So it's important that if you set these boundaries, that you enforce them. What good is the law if we don't have the police enforcing the law? So what good is your boundary if you don't enforce it? So for me, some of my boundaries are, and I had to learn this early on because, again, because I'm a pastor, I have a heart for people. People are what I'm in the business of and ministry. And so I would be getting phone calls all hours of the night, and I'd be running out the house, and I'd be praying for people, and my husband would come home, and I'd be shushing him, shh, hon, I'm on the phone. And I'd be, you know, on the phone for hours and not having family dinner and not putting my kids to bed because I'm counseling this one and praying for this one and ministering to that one. And that was all out of balance. And so one of the things that I talk about in the book is, you know, we need to teach people to fish. If you feed a person a fish, they'll eat for a day. If you teach them to fish, they'll eat for a lifetime. So you doing all this calling me and me feeding you a fish, you're only going to eat for a day. I need to teach you to fish. And so I need to teach you how to lean on God for yourself. I need to teach you how to hear God's voice. I need to teach you how to get in the Word. So you ain't on my phone for 7 and 8 hours, and I'm not here with my family. So I can teach you how to fish so that I can spend more time with my family. And I need, so I need to set some boundaries, and I need to enforce them. So once I've got burnt out and was all out of balance, then I realized, you know what, okay, this isn't working. You know, so I had to set boundaries when I would take calls, when I would do work, when I would do ministry, unless it was an absolute emergency. So for me, I have a cutoff time. And I find that as entrepreneurs, you know, when we work a 9-to-5, we work 9-to-5 for the most part. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurs, they don't have a 9-to-5. Because we're passionate about what we do, we will be doing this thing at 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning. We'll come home from working our 9-to-5. We won't eat. We won't sleep. Because the passion, that thing inside of us that burns, you know, we'll go all night. We will burn the midnight candle. But when do you rest? You're not only burning the midnight candle, but you'll burn yourself out. So you got to set some boundaries of when you're going to shut that computer down, when you're going to come out of the office, when you're going to go to bed, when you're going to spend time with your husband, when you're going to spend time with your children, when you're going to take time for you. Because it's all about self-care. Because that passion and everything that you've got inside of you and everything that you desire to do, if you don't take care of you, you're going to burn out and you're not going to be any good to anybody. So I have to balance time for me in there. I have to have time for my business, I have to have time for work, I have to have time for God, but I also have to have time for me to just do what I like to do. So without setting and enforcing boundaries, like I said, what good is the law without the police to enforce it? It's lawlessness. So if we don't set and enforce boundaries, it'll be chaos in our life, and we'll be overwhelmed.
So what's a way to set the boundaries? Because you talked about having time for self, having time for family, having time for different things that are in your life, from ministry to your family to children to your own business. What are some of the tools you use in order to help you to set boundaries?
I'm a very rigid person. I'm a very disciplined person. I'm a very systematic person. So I live off, like, I have a schedule. Like, and I have a schedule. And in my schedule, I have a time for everything. Now, with me being very rigid with my schedules, one plug that I do want to make is we cannot be so rigid, and that's something I have to work on. Because you have to allow room for flexibility because things change. So we have to be flexible. But I still work a 9-to-5 as well as, you know, pastoring and having my ministry and writing books. So I have to have a set time that I have where I come home. And so because I'm a pastor, all of my time with God can't just be about preparing my message. So I have to have time to prepare my message for Sunday or for workshops or upcoming events that I have. But then I just have to also have that time that I spend with God. So I have schedules of when I'll spend time with God. And, of course, again, there's room for that and there's flexibility. But I have a schedule, and I try to, because I have so many things going on and because I have a young child and I'm home, one of the things I do because I still work a 9-to-5 is I use my lunch break to get a lot done. I will do conference calls on my lunch break. I will work on my messages. I will go in the conference room. I will pray. I will spend time with God. I will use my time home because I have a half an hour commute in the car. That's private time. So I say take every moment that you can and maximize it, because when I get home, I still have to work, but I can't put in as much time because, again, I have a husband and I have a 10-year-old who I need to spend time with. My other girls are older, so they're out of the home. But for the most part, I try to get it in where I can. I drop my daughter off at school in the morning. I have a half an hour in the morning. That's time I can get it in. What can I get done? Can I schedule a conference call? Can I sit in my car before I get on the train or go to the conference room at work and schedule a conference call? Can I work on one of my messages? Can I work on my book? Can I work on something I have going on? When I in the morning, on my way home, you know, so I set it up very structured like that Monday through Thursday, because Friday and Saturday and Sunday, I'm not trying to work. That's my family time. That's my cutoff time. So unless it's a dire emergency, I'm not taking calls. I'm not counseling, and again, unless it's a dire emergency, because when do I spend time with my children and my husband? And so I set my schedule is very tight Monday through Thursday, and I scheduled it like that so that I can have that flexibility on the weekends. Some people don't mind working on the weekends, so their schedule doesn't have to be as tight during the week, but my philosophy is work hard, play hard. So I work hard Monday through Thursday so I can play hard. And the part of my playing is just relaxing if I'm just sitting on the couch doing nothing. Typically on Friday nights, I like to come home, get some Chinese food, throw my sweats on, and lay on the couch and veg out and catch up on my shows, because I can't watch TV Monday through Thursday because when I get home, I'm working. So I record all my shows that I like, and I will get some Chinese food and veg out on the couch and watch my shows. And then, again, I have a 10-year-old, so a part of our time is we have shows that she likes me to watch with her. I think That's So Raven, one of the kids' shows, made a comeback. I think the show is totally stupid, but my daughter loves it. So we watch that show together. During the week, I catch up with her in school and how that's going. But Friday night is really our time that I can just give her my undivided attention. If I try to touch that cell phone, because you know how it is, we're trying to multitask. So we're spending time with the kids watching TV, and I'm trying to check an email, and she'll catch me. Ma, put that phone down. What are you doing? So one of the things that I've learned is for entrepreneurs and women in leadership and who have busy schedules is when you're spending time with your children and your husband, be present. Because a lot of times we're there, but we're not there. So we need to be present in the moment. When you go out with your girlfriends, because I'm big on girlfriend time, I love my girlfriends, I love going out to eat, I love catching up, be present. Don't be on your cell phone, catching up on emails, checking up on social media. Be present in the moment. It's not fair to them for you to be there and not be present.
This is a true statement. I believe that 100%. And on that note, Pastor Mel, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
I found love in you, and I've learned to love me too. Never have I felt that I could be all that you see. It's like our hearts have intertwined into the perfect harmony. This is why I love you.
And we're back. like Lady Quarterback says. What's going on, family? And we're back. Listen, OMG. So we've got a lot of nuggets. We first talked about the whole Superwoman syndrome. Superwoman is dead. Wait a minute. You didn't say she was dead. You said she didn't even exist.
She doesn't really exist.
She doesn't even exist. So what did Pastor Mel say? She said, you better tell those people no and delegate the work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So as we moved on through the conversation, I had asked her what was another tip, and she said setting boundaries. Setting boundaries, and she gave us some tips and tools on how to set these different boundaries. I think the one thing that you said that I thought was really, really dynamic, and that was be present in whatever it is that you're doing. So you're with your husband, be present. He's venting, he's talking, y'all are just there. Be present. Don't pick up the cell phone. Don't answer the phone unless it's a dire emergency. Don't do anything. Just be present. When you're with your children, be present. When you're at work, be present.
Yeah.
I think that's so key because we're in an era where talking to you, you know, while texting to somebody and checking my emails and stuff like that. You know, they say no texting and driving. Let's come up with something else. No texting and driving, but be present. Well, I like that. Hashtag no texting, but be present. Well, before our time winds down, I did want to touch bases on the other book that you have authored as well. And I know I always mess up the name. I'll say delayed but not denied. Is that the correct thing?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I got it right. Go start. Shake your pom-pom. Never mind. It's the saying that we say that I don't get right. Shake your pom-poms. Go. I don't know. Anyway, but I got it right. So let's talk about that because that title is very interesting. That title is very interesting.
So Delayed But Not Denied was the first book that I co-authored. So this is a compilation of 20 inspirational stories about life and resiliency. So there's a woman, I don't know if you're familiar with them, they're in the New York area, Toni Coleman Brown and Julia Shaw. They put together this project and they had this idea to write this book, Delayed But Not Denied, where they would get together 20 people who would share their stories where they were delayed in life, but they were not denied. And so it's 20 different people, a lot of people from New York. There's two of us from Boston. I believe there was someone from Chicago. And we all just submitted a chapter on a story in our life where we were delayed but not denied. So I talked about having a 10-year-old daughter and being present with her. So the story that I wrote in Delayed But Not Denied was entitled From Barren to Blessed. And that is a story of me trying to conceive my daughter, Zoe, my 10-year-old daughter, because I was unable to conceive for many years. And so my husband and I were trying for many years to conceive. We went to fertility clinics, and we went through all of that, you know, a couple goes through when they're trying to conceive and they can't conceive. And it's an emotional roller coaster, and it's a trying time. It's a very emotional time. It can be a very discouraging time, and I myself, as a woman of faith, have even during that time of trying to conceive, having my faith challenged. It was a period of over 5 years where we were trying to conceive and going to the hospital and going to the fertility clinic and going through all of that until I just finally said, you know what, God, I'm done. Like, you're going to do this when you're going to do this. I'm getting off this roller coaster. I cannot do this anymore. It's just an emotional roller coaster. Today I'm up, today I'm down. I cannot do it, God. You're going to do it when you're going to do it. And he did it. I went to the hospital. I took my mind off it. I said, God, you're going to do it when you're going to do it. And he did it. I went to the hospital, and my doctor, who was very familiar with the process because she followed me through it, through the different fertility clinics. And she's like, oh, my goodness, the fertility clinic. And I'm like, no, Jesus. It was not the fertility clinics. It was not the medicine. It was not the procedures. It was God. And so I was delayed in having my baby, but I was not denied.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you.
You know, that it's interesting because, one, I'm not a mom, but what I related it to is business and how we're always out here hustling and bustling and doing all these different types of businesses and doing all these quote-unquote ministries in the name of God and all these other different things instead of just taking our hand off of the steering wheel like you did.
And just giving it to God and trusting God.
Right. Right. You know, that's this story can be applied to so many different areas in our lives, but the key factor in it was letting go of the steering wheel. And once you let go of the steering wheel, you were able to move forward with ease and got exactly what you wanted.
Letting go of the steering wheel, because I remember a situation in my life when I was going through a really difficult time. And I was trying to control it, and I was trying to drive the car, and I couldn't take it anymore. And I was going through the situation for a few years, and I remember, like, this thing was probably like 7 years ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting in my car, and I was like, God, like, I was literally banging on the steering wheel of the car, and I was like, God, I'm done, I can't anymore, I'm taking my hands off of it. And he said to me, good, now I can take control. So many times we got our hand on the steering wheel and we're trying to drive. God's not going to fight us. If you want to drive, because, you know, he gives us a free will, and he's a gentleman. If you want to drive, I'm going to let you drive. And when you realize that you're driving this train or you're driving this bus and that you need to take your hands off and give me control, when you realize that, then I'll step in. And when I took my hands off it after years of trying to control this situation and trying to fix it and trying to work it, when I finally took my hands off of it, God stepped in and worked it out in a matter of months what I couldn't do in years.
Sweatless victory.
A sweatless victory.
That's what it's about. When you just let go of the steering wheel. It's just a sweatless victory. I know Dr. Creflo A. Dollar would always talk about these sweatless victories and how when you let go of your will and you let go of the steering wheel and when you let go of stuff and just let God, that you begin to have sweatless victories. I mean,
I like that.
We have
victory.
There's so many. I'm very much sure that you can go back in your past and think about all those times that you've had sweatless victories. Like you just walked in, it was easy. You sat down and wrote your chapter. Boom, that was with ease. You sat down and you wrote that book. It was with ease. You know, you became a pastor. You did your ministries. You know, it all became with ease because you let go. I mean, and that's what's up.
I think that the problem we have with letting go is trust. Like, do I really trust God? That if I let this thing go. And so when we trust God and let go, then like you said, then we experience that sweatless victory. But where I don't have trust and I'm trying to hold on and I'm trying to control this thing, I'm doing a whole bunch of sweating and I still ain't got no victory.
Baby. This is a true statement. I mean, you talking to me now. I remember last summer, I was sitting in church, and God was like, I need you to praise me. I'm trying to think of what the situation was. I mean, I know what the situation was. I'm trying to recall what had happened at that time. But he was like, I need you to praise me, and I need you to let go. And I just was, now I remember, daddy issues. He's like, and I just need you to let go. I just need you to praise. I just need you to say you have a sound mind. I just need you to repeat the words of the Bible to me. I need you to just go there. And I refused. It's like, I can't. I'm like, he's like, you're going to have problems with your relationships. He actually called out one of my homegirls. And he said, you're gonna have problems with this because you don't trust her and you don't trust me. He told me that straight up. He's like, you don't trust me. You don't. You're having because she. When I say to you, she is so close to me, which would be Minister Kim E. Underwood. She is so close to me that he told me that if I didn't like really move past all of this stuff, that it would mess up my relationship because I have trust issues. And I was like, whoa, you already now walked out to church stomping and doing all that nonsense, right? Because I was like, you can put my head to the fire. But anyway,
and we had to bring you talk about, you know, the trust issues. And many of us, we need inner healing before we can move to the next level in life. You know, because it will hinder us in business, in relationships, in ministry. You know, we can only go so far, but it's like it's a limitation on us. And I talk about that in Balanced Believer. There's a chapter because the name is Balanced Believer, how to live a balanced life and win in every area. So if we're going to win in life, chapter 4, we need to step into the winner's circle through emotional healing. So we need to deal with those daddy issues and those trust issues, and sometimes we need to go back to when we were a little girl and when we were a little boy, because sometimes things happen to us, and it affects how we deal with God, and it affects how we deal with others, and it will affect our business. It'll affect our marriage. It'll affect how we raise our children. But we need to step into the winner's circle through emotional healing so that we can win in life and be the best possible version of ourselves. Not the best. I'm not trying to be the best version of you, and you're not trying to be the best version of me. I'm just trying to be the best me. And so I need to step into the winner's circle through emotional healing. I need to deal with that stuff that I carry that hurt me when I was a little girl, that hinders my relationships and how I move forward, and my lack of trust with individuals, and, you know, and even, again, my lack of trust with God, because many of us, you know, God is our father, but if our father wasn't there and we didn't have that relationship and we didn't have that, you know, that image of what a good father is, sometimes we try to equate God to our natural father, and sometimes we think that God is like our natural father, or sometimes we think that God is like a man, and if we've been disappointed and we've been let down by men, then sometimes we'll think that God is like that. I remember when I was younger, before, because I haven't always been a pastor and I haven't always been saved, I actually used to be a hot mess. So before I gave my life to Christ, when I used to date men, I felt like if you loved me, you had to buy me stuff. You had to show me you loved me by just wine, you know, wining me and dining me with gifts. And so when I gave my life to Christ, when God was blessing me, I felt like he loved me. And when he wasn't blessing me with tangible things, I felt like he didn't love me. And I remember one time God said to me, I can't love you the way you want to be loved, because that's not love. You equate my love for you with material things. And when I don't give them to you, you think I don't love you. And that's not love. And so sometimes we got to get that emotional healing. We got to get that heart check, because we're looking at God and we're expecting things from God that he's not capable of, because that's not love. And I'm love. And I have a pure love. And I don't know what that thing was that you had going on with them guys, but that wasn't a pure love.
All I can say is that you stepping in my backyard.
All right.
You stepping in my backyard. Hey, everybody, you already know this show has already been extended. I just want y'all to know this,
to
is,
be done.
This is, we are extending the show. I just want y'all all to know we are just extending the show because
we
Pastor Mel.
I didn't know when we were supposed to end.
Because Pastor Mel is all in my backyard. But it's true. I mean, I'm going to be very transparent. I decided to put myself back into therapy. I had been in therapy for many, many years. I went to therapy because I was trying to get rid of a boyfriend that I had. And Mind you, when I was in therapy, we didn't even talk about the boyfriend. But this time I decided to put myself in therapy because I was feeling overwhelmed with my life in regards to being a caretaker, a business owner, a W-2 worker, and all the other things that come. And crazy as it is, I started the session, and I've only been in there for a couple of weeks, and I'm already dealing with mother issues. And we came out the gate with that, because I said something to the therapist, and he says to me, well, you know, Kim, that's a reflection of what you think of yourself. And I cussed him out in my head. I said, I don't know who you think you are. This is why I didn't want to go to no black man therapist. Da, 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 da. I went on and on and on and on and on. Mind you, I sat there and ate it. I sat there. He got cussed out so bad in my head. But I had to sit there and eat it because, you know what? Somewhere along the line, there was truth to that. I mean, and of course, I had to be quick. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to let you knock me down. And I said, that's because. And he was like, yeah, that is because. I was like, whoa. So it's interesting that you talked about the healing about the little girl inside of you, the little boy inside of you, you know, Minister Kim Underwood. We were chatting, and, you know, that's what she said to me. She says, that little girl in you, Kim, has to heal.
Jesus.
Don't get me emotional. Don't get me emotional Jesus. Right now. I said to her, I understand the whole addiction and understand all of this stuff. As a woman, I understand that. But as a child, the inner girl in me is jumping up and down saying, why you ain't come back for me? Why you ain't do this? Why you ain't do this? Mom, I needed you, so on and so forth. And she said, you know what, Kim? Your little girl got to grow up. Your little girl got to grow up. She has to heal in order to grow up. And when she heals, she will grow up and catch up with the woman in you. And I was like, wow. All right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, wait a second. So it's very interesting. You know, I've had this conversation, you know, with Minister Kim, and I have the conversation with Lady Quarterback, you know, because they're very close to me. And
yeah.
So I just publicly said, yes, I'm going to therapy. But this whole conversation
ain't nothing wrong with therapy.
Well, you ain't never lie, because that way I am.
Yeah,
but that,
I don't know why so many people think there's a stigma with going
and
to therapy.
Especially in the black community.
Absolutely.
Especially in the black community. And people need to understand that mental illness is real.
Absolutely.
It's real. I don't care what religion you in. I don't care whether you don't even believe in God. Mental illness is real. We as Christians understand what's behind mental illness. We understand that depression, confusion, and all of that comes from the enemy. We understand that. However, we also need to understand that it's okay to go somewhere, dump all that crap out, get up, and keep moving. Because sometimes I have nothing against the church. But sometimes you just can't peel the skins off by going to a service. Don't get me wrong. You get delivered. You do all these different things. But sometimes you just got to chisel. Sometimes it's just one of those things. You know how they do the ice sculpting and you just chisel a little bit. You just chisel a little bit. You just chisel a little bit. That's what therapy does. And that's what Minister Kim had to remind me. She's like, listen, you go in there today doesn't mean tomorrow you're going to be perfect.
Absolutely.
It means that you got to go in there and you got to work at it and you got to work at it and you got to work at it and you just got to work at it. So that's my ploy for today. Everybody, go get yourself checked out mentally.
Get that head right.
Right. Get your head right.
Get that head, that heart, the soul. Oh, my gosh. Because like you said, you know, we know that, you know, the battlefield is in the mind. And we got to make sure our head is right and our heart is right. Again, we need that inner healing.
This is true, because
we are healed and whole.
Because when that thing show up, when that bee show up, when that bee shows up, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. I mean, because I know me, last year was the whole daddy issue thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the shepherd that I sit under would call me daughter. Girl, you know that tore my heart, ripped my heart. I was like every time he said it, it was like he had put a dagger in my heart, and I couldn't even understand it. Like, I never forget, me and Minister Kim, we was in Puerto Rico celebrating her 50th birthday, and my aunt was in Dallas, and we were sitting in the Kentucky Fried Chicken, yes, in the Kentucky Fried Chicken in Puerto Rico where they serve rice and beans. Amen, for the Lord. And I started to talk. We started to talk, and I started to cry. Like, it's crazy. If you don't get yourself right, if you don't do the work that needs to be done, you go out there, you mess yourself up. You mess yourself up, and you miss out on a whole bunch of good stuff. Good stuff that God has for you, because your mind is so tied up.
Yes,
oh, my goodness. Girl, I'm talking to myself right now. Hey, Glory. That's what my aunt does. She goes, hey, Glory. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. We've had such a great time, Pastor Mel. Yes, this is the extended version. Listen, tell everybody where they can get your books. Tell them where they can connect with you and your ministry.
Absolutely. I would love for those of you, if you were blessed by what I shared on this interview, I would love to stay connected with you. You can find me. I'm on Facebook at MK Ministries Boston. You can also connect with me on my website, www.mkministries.info. Right under the products and services page, the books are available. I have wonderful T-shirts. You can get your Balanced Believer T-shirt. You could get your Balanced Believer book. Delayed But Not Denied is also available on my website. I'm in the process right now. I'm putting together a 21-day woman's devotional, Overcoming Fear and Living Fearlessly. I will have 21 days of devotions and prayer. That will be released soon. Please connect with me and be on the lookout. Follow me on Facebook. I post a daily inspiration every day. You can receive your word and receive some empowerment and encouragement, and you can stay up to date with where I'm going to be and what I'm doing if you would like to follow me. I would love to stay connected with you. Once again, I'm at MK Ministries Boston on Facebook, www.mkministries.info. All my information is on there. I have some blog posts that will bless you and encourage you and stir your faith. So I would love for you to follow me and stay connected with you.
I love the fact that she said MK Ministries Boston. So you already know what that means. That's an open door for another state. So that may be MK Ministries New York, MK Ministries Connecticut, MK Ministries Rhode Island. That's what I heard.
All right.
Once you start bossing on the back of it, that means, hey, this is the first stop on the train. That's what it sounds like to me.
All right, I receive it. Come on, God, enlarge my territory. It's all about Him. So, like I said, every open door is not a door we need to walk through, but every door that He opens, I'm running in them.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Well, Pastor Mel, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and blessing us with the great tips and just blessing me, because I was just like, you were just confirmation on what I'm going in the right direction. That's what you were for
Wonderful.
Me.
Wonderful.
So I'm super excited about that. So family, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? I'm your man, Norris J. And right now, I want to start a movement. and INJ movement. You see, in this day and age, our world, NJ. Our universities, NJ. Our youth, NJ. Our government, NJ. INJ. I need Jesus. So when you wake up in the morning, say INJ. When you're at work, say INJ. Wherever you are and you feel like you need Jesus, say INJ. And remember, INJ, UNJ, we all NJ. You heard it from NJ.
Figure out which way to go. It's like you're stuck on a treadmill running in the same place. You got your headlights on now, hoping that somebody would slow down. Praying for a miracle, we'll show your grace. Had a couple dollars and a quarter tank of gas with a long journey ahead. Seen a truck pull over, God sent an angel to help you out. He gave you direction, showed you how to read a map. For that long journey ahead, said it ain't never over. Oh, even in the midst of doubt, life is worth living. Life is worth living. So live another day, the meaning of forgiveness. People make mistakes, doesn't mean you have to give in. Life is worth living again.
Family, 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 wasn't that a phenomenal interview? I must say so myself. Listen, I had such a great time with Pastor Mel. Totally. So I'm putting it out there, Pastor Mel, you definitely got to come back, sit down in our living room, aka the studio, with Minister Kim. Two ministers having a conversation, girl talk. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. And we listeners are going to be the fly on the wall, listening in to two ministers talking. Well, I can't wait till that happens. But for now, guys, listen, this is what's happening in the community. Get your pens, your paper, and stay tuned. Family, what's going on? What's going on? We are in the section where we talk about what's going on in the community. What's going on in my community? What's going on in your community? What's going on in the community? Listen, if you have an event that you want us to make sure that we broadcast during this section, as well as put your flyer up on our Facebook page, make sure you send us an email at info@themorningglory.org. info@themorningglory.org. Make sure you include all your information. Make sure you include the flyer so that we can post it up, and we'll have all the information so that we can actually talk about it in this section. So let's talk about two things. There's two things that is happening here in our community section. We have in the the Southern Boulevard, you know I got to put my glasses on, right? The Southern Boulevard Community Input. That's taking place right here in the Boogie Down Bronx. That is taking place on the 6th. Yes, next Wednesday on the 6th. It's taking place at East Bronx Academy. East Bronx Academy, 1716 Southern Boulevard. 1716 Southern Boulevard,
Southern Boulevard, right here in the Bronx. So what this is basically you come in and you talk about what's going on in the community. So it's like a town hall meeting. It's a town hall meeting. So what they are calling it is an input meeting. So they want to know what your thoughts are because, A, you live in the community, B, you work in the community, and C, you shop in the community. It's one of those things. You either live there, you work there, or you shop there. Southern Boulevard got lots and lots and lots of stores and lots and lots and lots of families. So, and lots and lots of places to work there. So, you're going to fall in one of those categories. So, that's taking place December 6th on Wednesday at the East Bronx Academy, located at 1716 Southern Boulevard, right here in the Bronx, and it's a two-hour event. So from 6 to 8. So make sure you tell your friends all about it. The other event is taking place on December 15th, and I know you guys heard me talk about this a couple of weeks ago, and it's called Bury, Burn, and Build. OMG, that event is thebomb.com. It really changed my life and set me up properly for 2017. That's what it did. So I'm going to be there. PIP Women Rock is going to be in the building. So I want you guys to come on and be a part of this as well. Let's set up our 2018. Let's set it up right now so we can do what we got to do to make it happen. So it's not too late to get tickets. It's not too late to get tickets. Just go to buryburnbuild.com. And so we're going to put that up on the Facebook page, so make sure you join us there. Shout out to everybody who put up their Thanksgiving dinner photos and told us what they were grateful for. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So two other things that's always happening in the community. One is Breakfast for Your Soul. Breakfast for Your Soul. And that takes place on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Breakfast for Your Soul with Minister Kim E. Underwood. This takes place at 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Standard Time. So mark your calendars, California. Mark your calendars, Texas, so that we're in the right time zone listening in. So the conference number is 641-715-3630. 641-715-3630. And the access code is 100-3997-pound. 100-3997-pound. And for all you moms, aunties, godmommies, girl cousins, we have something called Praying Moms Prayer and Bible Study. This takes place every Monday, every single Monday at 8 p.m. East. Sorry about that. 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, check your time zones. The telephone number is 218-862-9377. 218-862-9377. Access code is 9-8-7-4-9-8-7-4. That is for Praying Moms Bible prayer and Bible study, which happens every Monday. Listen, if you got an event you want us to talk about it, make sure you send us the information at info@themorningglory.org. info@themorningglory.org. It doesn't matter whether your community is in Nigeria or your community is in California or your community is right here in the Boogie Down Bronx. Our community is worldwide. We have over 70,000 listeners worldwide. Nigeria, Philippines, from the east to the west, and right down in the middle. So we have a community to the world. The world is our community. So allow us to be able to share your information too. Hey, this is one big family. So everybody, we will be back. All right, family, I pray that you all took notes on what was happening, the prayer lines, the Burn, Bury, Build event, as well as the Southern Boulevard Input event that's actually coming up this week. So I pray that y'all all took your notes and govern yourself properly according to the announcements, as they have said in so many churches. Well, listen, guys, I have something super amazing. Listen, well, you already know that we have a segment that's called Behind the Collar with Minister Kim. So today I have a treat. I have a flashback who's come to visit us here at Behind the Collar. So take a listen.
Today we're going to talk about the work and life balance. How do you turn off your day? How do you transition into spending time with your loved ones? Hello, this is Vincent K. Harris Business, the place where we take ideas to execution. And today is your problem, my solution. For many years, I had a hard time turning off the work button to focus on my personal life. So here's a principle I had to embrace that I think you can use. You can never expect to reap a harvest in an area you haven't sown into. Naturally, many of you are probably saying, dude, that's hard considering how long I've been harboring this bad habit. And you know what? For some reason, I can see on your brain, you're saying, be positive or be quiet. Well, don't be concerned, because I've been there before. It really hit home for me when I realized my niece was starting middle school. I was like, where did the time go? And why am I not spending more time with the family? What I had to do was to quickly refocus my energy all my family as well as my friends, so I could give them the same commitment that I was giving to my business. Because I don't know about you, but not only do I want a successful business, I also want a successful personal life and family life. So here are three strategies you can use to separate your personal and work life. Strategy number one is to exercise. I enjoy working out at the end of my workday simply because it creates a smooth transition and natural barrier between my business as well as my loved ones. What I found is that when I began to exercise, it gave me more energy for the remainder of the day, so I could give my best to those I love and care about the most. Strategy number two is to commute to work. The time spent driving home allows you to begin the winding down process that separates the office and your personal life. I recommend that you listen to something that's totally unrelated to your business and do not answer your phone for any reason unless it's your family members. Now, for those who work at home, the key here is to create a do not enter zone. That's where you separate the two by saying these parts of my home are off limits for any type of business. For an example, do not conduct business tasks in your kitchen, your great room, or your bedroom. This allows you to avoid the trap of falling into doing business while you're supposed to be spending time and working on your personal life. Strategy number three is to perform random acts of kindness. This is something I've embraced recently, where it allows me to take my mind away from any type of business things and strictly focus on the things that I appreciate. In addition to that, it allows me to spend more time with my family and friends and to get kind of like the burden of business and doing business off of my chest. These random acts of kindness allows me again to appreciate all the things that I have, and it really creates a work-life balance in a new perspective. For my random act of kindness, I'm going to give someone smiles. You know, like they used to say when we were children, if you see someone without a smile today, just give them one of yours. So for each of you who are looking for ways to separate your business and your personal life, that is my solution to your problem. But as always, I want to hear from you. Comment below and let us know how you separate the two. Then head on over to vinceonbusiness.com to join the conversation. Did this video solve your problem? If so, subscribe to my channel, then share it with your family, your friends, as well as your colleagues across social media. And if you want even more insight and personal resources, head on over to VinceOwnBusiness.com and sign up for my email updates. And remember, you are two people, the person you are currently and the person you are destined to become. And the goal in life is to get those two people to meet, because it's never too late to become what you should have been.
Family, 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 I know y'all remember Vincent K. Harris. He was a part of Voices of Hope. He is definitely a part of the family. He and Kimberly Arrington had a series on our show here. They had their own show as well, but they had a relationship segment on our show. So I figured I'd give you a blast from the past, all our old time listeners. Yes, yes, yes. Make sure you go out there, go on Facebook and check him out, Vincent K. Harris and Kimberly Arrington. It's always a pleasure to see what they're doing. They're very successful at what they are doing. And we want to be able to continue to support them, so we're asking you to support them as well. Well, family, this is the ending of our time together. I'm very sad. Look at that. I was on here 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, y'all been writing letters. Y'all been writing letters saying get Radio Angel on. Y'all been writing letters. Oh, thank you, family. Well, nonetheless, this is our time where we've got to exit. So, I'm trying to think of the saying that my one of my cubby mates says. She says something like, I gotta win. I don't know. When I see her next week, I'll ask her again. Then I'll try and say it the next time that I'm on here. But family, have an amazing Saturday and an amazing weekend. And all you December birthdays, happy birthday to you. Everybody have an amazing day. We will see you here next week and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please connect with us on Facebook at Voices of Hope. Voices of Hope Radio, as well as on our website, www.themorningglory.org. So we'll see you next week. Love you, family.
Thank you for tuning in to Voices of Hope Radio. Connect with us on Facebook. Remember, whatever you have going on in your life, never lose hope. God bless.